Hey Trailblazers, this is Jason, your host of the Trailblazing Texas podcast. Before we jump into our latest episode, I've got some incredible news for you. Are you gearing up for your next big hike or backpacking trip? Well, we at Trailblazing Texas podcast have partnered up with Trekker Joe's, the ultimate Texas outfitter, to bring you something I feel absolutely special. Listeners, you of the Trailblazing Texas podcast can now get a one-time 15% off their gear purchases at Trekker Joe's. That's right. Whether you're a first-time customer at Trekker Joe's or a repeat customer like me, you can save big and hit the trails well-prepared. So upon checkout, use code TTP15 to claim your 15% discount and in the process support an amazing local Texas business. So happy trails, and don't forget to tell your hiking buddies. Now on with the episode. Welcome to the Trailblazing Texas podcast, where we embark on a journey through our diverse Texas landscapes and breathtaking trails while always engaging with our amazing Texas hiking community. So settle in, tighten up those bootlaces, and get ready for the thrilling tales awaiting for you on this episode. So what advice would you give to new beginner hiker and backpackers that kind of want to get into our hobby? To me, it's not a hobby. It's a way of life, but you know,
it's a way of life once you get in there, you know,
yeah.
But how do you get started? It's kind of like, how do you start eating right? How do you start reading books at night? How do you start, I'll be honest, a TV series. I don't watch TV, but how do you start a TV series? You just start, right? But you start right. But you don't try to, you know, like I'll use the TV because it's very unthreatening. Okay. I want to watch a series. Well, I don't want to go watch the very last one. That, what good is that? Right. You got to start in the beginning. So same with your food choices, same with reading a book or hiking. Let's keep it to hiking. Start walking. I don't care if you walk around the block. I don't care if you walk around your house. People go, guess what? When you go to the grocery store, most people still go to a grocery store. Don't park on the front row. Park as far back as you can. Your car is going to appreciate it. You're going to have time. It's not going to make a bit of difference, but you are going to be able to walk. I know a place where it's too hot for people to walk outside, so they walked in malls. I don't even know if malls exist, but trust me, when people say they can't walk, baloney. That's on them. Okay. Yeah. So you start walking. Well, now you got to get out in the woods. I think it is absolutely okay to go with someone the first time you go in the woods. Find an easy trailhead. So you can start with a trail where you can drive to it easily. So you don't have to worry about your car. You don't have to worry about, you know, the safety of getting to the trail. Get out, get dirty. I say out and back because you can, it's so easy to estimate. If you don't know how to estimate your hiking speed, yeah, you know, if you have 4 hours, hike for two, come back two, you know, do it on time, yeah. Not on miles. Start paying attention to your mileage. Use apps. There are so many apps out there, but All Trails, Strava, put those things in on your phone, whatever your app is, record. Why? There's two reasons. If you do something like one of these and Strava, let's pretend you start walking out. If you're just wandering, you're not on an official trail, then you follow the trail back. It's your breadcrumbs, okay? Yep. If you're trying to stay on a trail, some of them will yell at you, and they'll let you know, oh, you're off trail. Great. Most of them are free. You can buy the extended versions, whatever, but you don't have to spend money on an app. Always tell someone where you're going. If you can talk to, depending on what you're doing, you know, let's pretend like it's an overnight. Again, have someone go with you the first time. Before I stepped on the Appalachian Trail, I was going to set up my tent. I went with someone after work. We hiked in the snow. This is in Vegas, mind you. We hiked in the snow. We were going to go to this cabin, but I was going to set up my tent. But I'm so ignorant. There's no place to set up my tent because there's like feet of snow. So I end up sleeping in the cabin, which you're allowed to do, with my friend. And then we hike out. I'm like, well, that didn't help because I didn't get to set up my tent and I'm leaving the next day for, you know, this epic hike thing. And I have never set up my tent. Oh, well, I guess I'll figure it out there. I can't really recommend that to someone, right? But guess what? If you're on it, like the Appalachian Trail, my first night in the woods was surrounded in February and it was cold and it was sleeting. I get to this campground, camp spot. Camp, it's not really a campground. It's free. There was a shelter. It was full. There were like 20 other tents in February. So there were people around. Like I wasn't by myself. I was my own danger. And I'll tell you, tearing down that tent the next morning, not knowing what I was doing, my hands hurt so bad because it was, I think it was like 19 degrees, right? I wasn't efficient, you know, and my gloves got wet and I was a mess. I was a mess. But guess what? I learned when you tear down your tent, start walking because that's going to warm you up the best out of anything else. Nobody told me that. I figured it out by myself. Safety. If you've never hiked before, ever, your shoes are important, right? They always tell you your feet are going to swell, whatever. That's for through hikers. That's not for these day hikes. But when you do step onto a through hike, if that's where you're headed, then yes, you want to be ready for your feet to get a little bit bigger. It's going to happen. Yeah. They're going to swell, period. You know? Mm-hmm. And then I already talked about the equipment. You know, use what you have. Don't go out and spend thousands of dollars at first. You're going to spend that money if you get into hiking, right?
Talk Absolutely.
To you, right? But do it in small increments. Like I was working at the time, so I had money so I could buy stuff. Now, every time before I go on a hike, I try to upgrade or improve one thing if I need to. But it's like I have a home base where I don't live. I rent it out. But I have a room that has my stuff in it. I try to, when I know ahead of time what I'm going to do, I try to grab the right stuff. But sometimes these adventures come up without me knowing, like the Allegheny Trail. I knew right. I was going to Europe. I didn't know I was going to do the West Virginia Trail. So I didn't have the right stuff in my van. I had this fuzzy, big, heavy hat from Peru that I had bought, and it was in my van. I didn't have any other hats. Guess what? That's what I took on my hike. And I've never been so happy with it. But I would have never taken that on a hike because it was bulky and big and heavy, but it's the only hat I had. So, yeah. And I wasn't going to go and buy a hat just for this hike. I'm not going to do it. I have so many at home. I cannot justify that. So, you know, use what you have. If you're a new hiker, see if you like it. If you do choose to go with a dog, understand, I think that you're taking on some risk in the woods. If you don't understand how animals are going to interact with you, snakes especially, then you need to be prepared for what might happen. And then I say actually join the little Facebook groups.
Yeah.
There are meetups in Vegas. Oh my gosh. Incredible meetups for hiking. Go on trails. Like for me, what I did when, I can go back to when I started hiking. I joined a group in Vegas because I didn't want to do a hike that I'd never done before. This is before the Appalachian Trail. I didn't want to go to the waterfall without having ever done it before. I didn't want to go to the ice caves without ever having done it before. So I would sign up for a group and go with a whole bunch of people. Now, here's the funny thing. I would do it with them on their space, on their breaks, eating food, talking to people. And then I would get back and then I would go do it by myself. And I would do the exact same hike fairly quickly after doing it, like 1-2 days, and go do it again. While I still remembered, while I had the track recorded, maybe I brought better clothes, worse clothes, but it was my hike. I took my time or I went faster. It doesn't matter. My point is, every hike that I wanted to do in Vegas, I went with a group first and then I went solo.
And that's a really good way to get experience.
And you see what you're capable of. You see what you find out that you're either a really slow hiker and not prepared, or you find out that you're Speedy Gonzalez, you know, because sometimes I think I'm slow and then I hike with someone else. I'm like, oh, I guess I'm not so slow, you know, and vice versa. Sure. Sometimes I'm all that, you know, I'm like, oh, I got this. And then I'm like, you know, I'm like, what in the world, you know? But the point is, if I go back to when I was starting out before I did the Appalachian Trail, I wasn't hiking to go do the Appalachian Trail. I was hiking because it was a new way of life for me in Las Vegas.
Right.
But because I started doing it, I started realizing I don't want to work anymore. I want to be in the woods. And that's where I quit my job, not knowing the world was going to shut down, jumped on the Appalachian Trail. It was everything I was hoping for. And then some, and a new way of life came out of it, but I don't think you should start hiking because you want to do the Appalachian Trail and you start doing these day hikes. I think you should just see if you like hiking, and other hikes will come out of it because of it.
Oh, you will evolve for sure.
I have a friend who doesn't like hiking, and he hiked the Appalachian Trail because he wanted it to be a social event. He actually really didn't like hiking at all, but he did it for social reasons. Now, he had a miserable time as far as the hiking. He had a great time socially, but like he hurt his feet. He wasn't eating right. He spent a lot of money. He was happy he did it, but it wasn't the same experience that I had. Mine was all about getting away from people and experiencing the woods and testing my abilities. And we came off with two. It was not a social thing for me. No. I tried not to make it a social thing. It turned out to be more. I made friends for life on that trail. That was not my intent. No. Those things are going to happen, whatever you choose to do, but know why you're doing something. If you're going to hike, are you doing it for fitness? Okay. Are you doing it to see things you've never seen before? Okay. Are you doing it to test yourself? Are you doing it as an escape? This is my advice. Figure out why you want to hike and then do it for that
reason. Your motivation.
What's your motivation? Because for some people, it is fitness. Okay. Yeah. So for some people, it is to see the sunrise, sunset. Okay. For some, it's social. Well, if you want to be a social hiker, then don't go do solo hikes. If you want to be a social hiker, then go socialize. I promise you there are groups out there. But if you want to do it solo, I would suggest you step out of your comfort zone and be social first so that you can be safe solo.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So looking back at this journey that you've been on, and maybe this is premature, but what legacy would you like to leave behind for other generations?
Okay.
You're a badass.
See, I don't see that still, but that's okay. Because, here's the deal. I'm 55. I'm so happy with myself right now. I've had some crazy stories in my life about things that have happened to me and what has gotten me to this point and all the struggles. And so first thing would be, weather those storms, weather as in W-E-A-T-H-E-R, make it through the storms, just keep moving, keep moving forward, make progress, even if it's slow. But my legacy, and I think about this when I'm hiking, I want to help people so bad that it hurts. Like I want to hug people when they're all grumpy about stuff on the internet. I'm like, go outside, just get some nature, get a dose of nature. I do want to write a book and I hope I'll get around to doing it. I want to write a few books, but one specifically has to do with, for me, using the trail to kind of reset, to get your priorities straight, to figure out what a healthy balance of life is. And here's the deal. You can go on a trail. Some people go on a trail and they are out of balance. Like they go extreme one way or the other. This last hike that I just did, I think I was out of balance on this whole hike, the entire hike. I've never done a hike where I felt like it was trying to spit me out the whole time, but I was all determined to do this, 2 weeks of carrying my own food. And I'll be honest, there was not a thing on that trail that said, stay on the trail. Not one thing went right. I was forcing it. And that's okay. You can learn from these mistakes and still live. So my legacy, I think, first off, is people need to realize, we all understand the currency of money, the value of money. We don't understand the currency of time. We don't understand this preciousness of time. And I've tried to teach it before all of this. And that is, I know you've heard this before, but you have a bank, and that bank, and I've already set it up, but you go to the bank and they give you a certain amount of money every day, but you have to spend it that day. What would you buy? And you talk to people and okay, they buy this. Okay. So then tomorrow you get the money. What do you buy? And people usually start off with these luxury trips and whatever. And as it keeps going along, the money is spent towards different things. And at some point, you tie it into, okay, it's not money, it's time. Okay. How did you spend your day today? Did you you know, did you do anything new? Did you try to grow as a person? Did you go for a hike? Now, some people would think going for a hike is a waste of time. Some people would think reading a book is a waste of time. It doesn't matter what they think. Did you use your currency of time when you put your head on the pillow? And this is kind of a very strong feeling for me because when I put my head down on the pillow, there are many things that happen. But one thing is I want to be proud of how I lived my day. And you realize how precious time is. And when you go on a hike, a normal hike, I don't know, it doesn't hit you as the same as when you do a through hike. When you do a through hike and you're out there for like 5 months, you start questioning, like, is this where I should be putting all my time? I remember doing the Appalachian Trail and thinking, you know, there was one point where I'm like, I only have so many hours left in my life. Do I really want to be walking through rain every single day? My body hurts. I'm tired. And you have to understand, I loved my through hike, but you start feeling the finality of life and time. And sometimes I tell myself, you know, do you really want to sign up for another hike, another through hike? So my last one that I did that was really long, which was the Arizona Trail, I actually made a promise to myself that at any point that this through hike felt like it was more of a drain and it was taking away time as opposed to adding experiences to my life, I gave myself permission to not be so stubborn as to finish this through hike. And that's kind of an interesting concept because when I did the AT, I remember saying, I'm going to finish. I didn't know a pandemic was going to happen. I didn't know all these things were going to happen, but I literally, there was one day where I had this like pinched nerve. And I remember I fell to the ground and I was in so much pain and I was crawling on the ground. Like I was so determined not to stop hiking. Like quitting was never an option. Even when a pandemic broke out and I had to go, off the trail for a little bit. So I remember someone said, oh, Kim, I'm so sorry, you know, that you had to quit. I'm like, I didn't quit. Whoa. I'm not, this is a pause. Like that's how passionate I was about this hike. But when I was done, I remember going, I don't think I'll ever do that again. Like that was 5 months. 5 months is a long time when you're 51 years old now, you know?
Yep.
And so same thing with this Arizona Trail. I gave myself this permission to not be so stubborn to go, no matter what, I'm finishing this hike. No, I said, basically, if I'm not loving it, if it's not calling me, I'm getting off. So, and what's funny is the Appalachian Trail, I should mention, because I mentioned this earlier, was, you know, I said I went with the flow and that the trail wanted to keep me on. And yes, everything that was happening on the trail was calling me to keep walking.
No.
But it was the hardest thing I'd ever done physically, mentally, emotionally. I really wanted to push myself and I did push myself. And I will say, like when I fell to the ground and I was crawling, I'll be honest, it wasn't that long. All of a sudden the pain went away. I stood up, I readjusted my backpack and I learned how to better set my backpack up and I kept going. So you ask, well, why did you not get off the trail when you fell to the ground in pain? There is a saying that I love and it's never quit on a bad day. And I have used that so many times in my life. I used it on the Appalachian Trail. I used it on the Arizona Trail hike that I just did. And I also used it even on the Lone Star Trail. It was a 5-day hike, but it was still, there was a moment. And then I used it just recently on the Allegheny Trail. Never quit on a bad day. You can quit. Quitting's okay. But don't do it in the moment. Don't do it on a bad day. So I think that's, you know, when you think about how precious time is, when you sign up for a through hike, at some point you need to ask yourself, is this going to be worth what I'm going to do to my body? Is it worth it to be away from my family? There's times when you're completely disconnected from reality. You have no idea what's going on in the world. That can be good, but it can also be bad if you find out when you're done and you get to a town that someone you know is sick or, you know, you have to make some decisions sometimes, you know, what's your goal?
You know, and I'd be willing to bet my last dollar that 99.999% of the people don't truly understand the value of time. And I think it's taken for granted. And you know, just looking at my life, you know, you have a job that is it as fulfilling as you would like? Probably not. Phone, TV, you know, all these things that don't really give you God, I don't even know what the word is, but it just like it takes your attention. There's no joy out of it. There's no, maybe there's some benefit, but yeah, I would be willing to bet that the majority of the people, when it's time to go to bed and they kind of look back at their day, they're probably not as happy as they could be.
Absolutely. What's funny is I used to own a restaurant and I don't go out to eat much anymore. And there's many reasons, but believe it or not, time is one of them. The effort for me to go to a restaurant, to wait to be served, to eat food, probably you shouldn't be eating anyway. And I eat more when I should, you know, but long story short is I have decided that it's really not, do I go out to eat? Yes. But I know people who go out to eat all the time and you start looking at how much time and money they spend going out to eat. That's not important to me right now. When I put my head down on the pillow and I think about how I spent 4 hours of my life around this thing called food, it kind of surprised me. Like, what could I have done with those 4 hours? I'm very aware of time right now. We don't know. Some people do know, but most people do not know how much more time they have left in this world. How are you going to, like, there is a saying, isn't there? Live every day like it's your last. I know it's a song or something, but that concept is very powerful. And believe it or not, that's what I've been doing for the last few years based on that story I shared with you about my friend Kim. You know, she knew how long she had left. She chose to spend the last few days of her life hugging people and loving on them. But many of us don't know. My dad went to bed, had a heart attack, and he was gone. My mom knew, you know, and she was at a point in her life where, you know, she was prepared and preparing for her death. We all have these different experiences, but I personally do not know what's going to happen to my life. So you have to decide, how do you want to live it every day? And then I still think walk in gratitude, no matter what happens. And my friend who did pass away, Kim, she, to the very end, all she was doing was being thankful and grateful that she got to hug another friend, that she got to finish something that she wanted to do, like put her foot on the Appalachian Trail. And so I think the concept is, today, if I could leave anyone the legacy, appreciate what you have. We have hardships. Don't dwell in the past. Don't freak out about the future. Truly try to live in this moment.
Yeah.
And when you put your head on the pillow, think about, did you honor this day in a way that, and because here's the deal. Maybe you didn't. Maybe you've just been stressed. And all you wanted to do today was sleep the whole day away. Tomorrow, better is better. Tomorrow, you're okay, fine. You had that off day. And I love naps, so that's why I pick on that one. But but you have this day that recharges your batteries. I think it's a problem if you get into a pattern. Like, you go to bed at night going, oh my gosh, you know, what a waste. I didn't do anything that I was supposed to do. So then the next day, you do it again. That's the problem. The problem isn't that one day. The problem is, you know, you keep throwing away those minutes, you know? So someone had a really powerful saying for me, and that was, better is better. It's so simple, but just make a small improvement the next day, you know?
Yeah.
Tackle that one project. The project that you talk about more than you would possibly even take to do that project, just do it. Just get her done, you know?
Yeah.
And then the next day, build on that. The next day, you know, do something else that you've been putting off, you know, that feeds you. And what's funny is for some people, it's the exact opposite. All they do is go, go, go. And so basically, you know, it'd be the opposite for some people. All they do is they're on. They're go, 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 go. So for them, when they put their head on the pillow, they're like, oh my gosh, I never stopped. I never heard the birds singing. I never went for a walk. I never petted my dog, whatever. So I'm not telling someone what the method of how they should spend their day is. The idea is, when you put your head on the pillow and you look back on your day, did you invest in your life with your time? Did you invest it the way you thought you should have? Knowing that you can't do anything about the day that just happened before you put your head on the pillow. What you realize is that next day, the day that's coming, you have all the power on how you want to spend that currency of time. That's it.
Very well said.
Got all excited.
No, I mean, you're absolutely right. Thinking about that in my life, it's something that's not going to just come. Like, it takes effort. Like, you have to want to reevaluate and make changes for the better.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
And everybody's better is different. And I think that's so important these days because people keep trying to fix everybody else. You know what? Just worry about yourself. Just when you put your head at the pillow, you know, you can't control how anyone interacts with you. You can't control anything but about your life and your day, period. If everybody did that, then it would be amazing what kind of interactions we would have with people every day. If people worried more
about themselves,
right? But
no. We're
not there yet, but we're getting there one day, maybe.
Hopefully.
Hopefully.
We are going to be wrapping up. I have a couple of questions for you that are tradition on the Trailblazing Texas podcast. How we always end the episodes.
Oh.
So before we get into the last two questions, just a couple of things. I get a joy of following your adventures and have been for the last maybe year. If you would love to take this opportunity to share any social media, how people can follow you, stay in contact with what you're doing. I would love for you to take some time and advise our listeners.
Sure. Okay. So I'm going to start with, I think I have a personal Facebook page, but those are with people that it has to be someone I've interacted with and met. Okay. So my personal, so I can't put that one out there. However, I did create what is a day by day since I've been in the van, and it's called Muon, M-U-O-N, Adventures. And it's basically a photo blog. Every now and then I do some little videos, but it's pretty much day this. And then it shows, like, from the very beginning, me hopping in my van and going to the national parks and doing the high points and all these through hikes. And I just do day by day. And every now and then it's something personal, like maybe my daughter's graduation. But it's kind of the life of my van and myself traveling and hiking and whatnot. I don't edit the photos. It really is just a photo dump of someone who's out there just doing her thing. When I post on my personal Facebook, I do have this weird thing happening where it goes into Instagram land. So that's K Selvage. I don't even know. I think it's K Selvage 8. But what it is it's some of my Facebook stuff, but it's a little less personal and it's more of my hikes and adventures. Because there are some friends of mine who are on Instagram who are not on Facebook. So, but when I travel, it seems like the people that I meet all over the world, we get connected through Instagram. Instagram seems to be that. So I let Instagram be that. So that's my photo part of my journey. Just like my Muon Adventures, except Muon Adventures is a little bit overkill because it's day one, day two, day three. I'm up to 1,000 something. So it's kind of what you want to be in for. But it really is cool. If you're interested, like the Tour du Mont Blanc, you can go and you can see what day one was, day two, day three, day four. And those photos don't know what's happening to day five. You know, I mean, it is a photo blog. But if you want videos, and I try to do my teaching and education and sharing and inspiration of all things, believe it or not, I do TikTok. And so that one is called Muon 2020 because I started it when I was on the Appalachian Trail. And then I moved to Florida. So then there's this, like, you're supposed to be consistent on TikTok. I am the most I'm consistently inconsistent because I, you know, started off as a through hiker. Then I became a beach bum and was in Florida for about a year. Then I became a van life person and I do all these little through hikes. And so I laugh that people even follow me because you never know what you're going to get. You might get, you know, me rescuing a seahorse, which that video I think hit 9 million views, but you also might see me. I posted a video where I left some food on my front dash because I wanted it to be hot by the time I came back from my hike. And it was in a little container and people freaked out. They're like, you're going to die from botulism. I'm like, well, I posted this, so I think I'm okay. You know, but so I do things my way and sometimes people jive with it and sometimes they don't, but I share videos on TikTok. So photos, Instagram or Facebook videos, TikTok for the most part.
And your TikTok, 62,500 followers.
You know that better than I do. Yeah, no, it's great that people want to follow along. I think sometimes it's the over 50, sometimes it's the through high. I have this like little, so it doesn't always reach everyone, but the people that I have this really cool group of people who do actively like, Kim, what are you up to today? Where are you headed next? You know, they're invested in my lifestyle. And so I love sharing it.
And they even call you out like, where have you been? You haven't, you know, we were worried.
So they understand when I go off the grid, like you're supposed to post on TikTok all the time. But if I'm doing a through hike, no, for many reasons, I don't want to wear out my battery. That's not really where I want my focus. So when I go off grid for like 2 weeks or 3 weeks, my TikTok people know she's on another adventure or something happened, but nothing's happened yet. So it has to be an adventure. I get off TikTok for a while only because I'm hiking. And hiking is hiking. I don't try to stay connected to the world when I'm hiking. I did in the beginning. I tried to do some lives and some other things from summits. You would think you're on top of a mountain, you would have a good reception, but you don't. So I stopped and it took away from some of my summit experience. So I decided, you know what? I'm going to keep them separate. If people want to follow me, great. But if they don't want to watch me do my little videos, it's okay. My world is not going to come crashing to an end. So.
Well, thank you so much for sharing. And to the listeners, start following. You will not be disappointed at all.
Oh, thank you. I do my videos for me, and if people like it, that's a bonus. So.
Yeah. All right. Are you ready for the last two? The toughest questions you will have had on this podcast.
I'm scared.
There's a lot of responsibility to this.
Uh-oh. Okay.
All right. So. What is one piece of gear that you would recommend to a new hiker and backpacker? And I know we talked about a lot of stuff, but this is how we end the podcast.
Oh, interesting. So what piece of gear do I recommend for a new, we're focusing on a new person.
Yeah. So like someone who has nothing and they're coming to you with recommendations and you say, okay, blah, blah, blah. But this right here is what you have to make sure you this piece of gear is, you nail it.
You know, I think water is so important. I'm going to pick on a water filter. And quite honestly, in my recent hike that we just, the Lone Star one, that was a determining factor on my safety. And if I was going to complete my hike was because I was having trouble with my filter. So I would say get a filter, maybe even be redundant, but make sure you have a way to have water. And it could be carrying a lot of water. I mean, whatever your hike, it depends on if it's a day hike or not. But I would say no matter what, the one thing that matters is hydration and water, because everything else falls around that for me. So I'm going to stick with my water.
All right. So mine is the Trekker Joe's water bottle sleeve holder.
See, and that's tied to water.
Yes, exactly. And because me being in Texas, we have massive water carries. And, you know, outside of carrying a filter, which I think you're absolutely right on, the way this allows me to carry heavy days, it's a game changer. The accessibility to the water, there's, you would have to invent something that would carry my pack for me and carry me up the mountain, you know, for me to ever change this. to a different piece of gear. I love these things. All right. Next question is same. What is one piece of safety advice that you would give to a new hiker backpacker?
That I would give to them?
Hopefully like what is your most important piece of safety advice that,
so
it's, and you can't say don't plan anything.
So are you saying safety is it's an item, or are you saying safety
no,
is
no.
a concept?
Concept, advice.
Okay. I really am flying off the cuff here with this one. But I truly believe know your abilities and know enough. So this is, it sounds like it's not planning, but, or it is planning, but before you step on that trail, you need to know what you are capable of, especially if you are a solo hiker. And if by some chance you are hiking with other people, You need to know who they are and what their expectations are. Because again, this all comes down to safety, but can you hike their speed? The reason I'm bringing this up is because this happened to some friends of mine. I wasn't on this hike, but some people hiked with someone in Las Vegas and they got themselves in a situation where the weather came in. Not everyone was on the same page. Some people really wanted to summit, so they left some of the slower people behind, and then the other group went to the summit. It turned out to be a rescue. That probably should not have happened. But the people that were left behind, not only were they slower, but they were the inexperienced ones, right? So it turned out to be a very bad situation. You don't want to put yourself in that situation. How could that have been avoided? Knowing your ability, can you do that hike on your own? Okay, don't go and expect somebody to carry you, safety-wise. And then if you're by yourself, can you self-rescue? Or if something happens to the person you're with, can you rescue them? Are you capable of doing whatever it takes to live? Because here's the deal. As much as I love hiking, I have another hike I want to do tomorrow. I don't want that one hike to be my last hike that I ever get to experience. So I hope that's what you were looking for.
Absolutely.
That's what comes to my mind when you say that.
I'm going to be very careful about what I'm about to say. That happened in one of the last backpacking trips that I had. You know, yeah, I think what I'm going to say is someone got left behind and it was acceptable that happened. And I hiked back, I don't know, about 2.5 miles to try to find them because I had found everybody else and just letting everybody know, hey, this is, you know, you need to turn left at this, the second wash that you cross. And then I'm like, hey, where's so-and-so? Oh, you know, they're slow. They're way back there. And I was like, oh, man. So I, you know, took off, never found them, started panicking. I still had cell service. I was able to text people. And then I put my phone on airplane mode and I think I turned it off. And I told them, hey, I'm turning off my phone just to save the battery. And thank goodness they had decided to take a shorter route to the campsite. And so when I turned my phone back on after about an hour of just sitting on the trail thinking, okay, what am I going to do to try to find this person? They're like, oh yeah, they're here. They just went a different way. And, but yeah, I mean, you know,
things can go south very fast. I don't think people realize how quickly things can escalate. Especially if you throw in a weather thing or when you deal with other people, you know, now you have, okay, well, do you go and you just have to make so many decisions on the fly and you don't know it's the right decision until you're at the end of the situation. Mm-hmm. When I go hiking with a group, we almost always have what we call as a sweep. And it's someone who's usually very capable, who likes maybe even to hike fast, but they are behind the last person for whatever reason. They're the sweep. Sometimes, I think you've heard of this before, where you put the slowest person, depending on the hike, you put the slowest person as the lead. And they don't typically want to be the lead because typically the slowest person is someone who's very new to it. But when they set the pace, everybody else stays safe typically because if you're the slower person, and I'm speaking because I'm sometimes the slower person. When I start faster, I start making mistakes. I get more tired. I make poor choices. All of a sudden I'm stumbling. So when you put that person in the front, and again, it depends on the hike, but that slow person in the front is actually a really good way to pace the whole group.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, with the story that I just had, I mean, I left my stepdad at Guadalupe Mountains on the Peak Trail. Like we were coming down. He was out of water. I think I gave him my last water on the peak. And we're just coming down and I'm like, doo, 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 doo. And I'm not realizing that he's struggling and that I'm just extending the few feet that I'm ahead of him to now, you know, like a couple minutes ahead to more minutes. And so I got down and there was a lady that we actually helped to get up to the peak. And I was literally shocked that she made it. Like, she was just didn't have quit in her. I got down just sitting on the bench and going, wow, like I thought, you know, he was just right behind me, but I just got in my little zone.
Yep.
And so she finished, and I'm like, I would have never thought she would have beat my stepdad down. And I go, hey, do you remember, you see my stepdad? She goes, oh yeah, he was sitting on a rock, you know, taking a break. I'm like, oh, okay. Well, she was part of a group and they had like a spotting scope. So I went over there and I'm like, you know, can you look up there and see if you see him? And sure enough, you know, they looked way up there, just right when you come around to the north part of the climb, you know, the first probably 3/4 of a mile, and he's just sitting there. So I hiked back up and, oh, he looked bad. Like the dehydration and stuff. And, you know, he would just sit down and like just fall back. And I'm like, ay, ay, ay.
Yeah, no, you see it happen though. You know, yeah. So, I have so many memories and thoughts and feelings about all of this, because it is as much fun as it is to talk about hiking and all the wildflowers and the summits and, you know, even fording a river and all these things that you do. We all have these other stories about being and these are all real stories. An ice cave collapses and someone's underneath it. And you're the person who might be the difference. I mean, that just happened to me about 2 years ago, maybe a year ago. Anyway,
yeah.
You know, you're in the woods on the Appalachian Trail and you hear some really weird noises and you can't figure out what it is. And you realize it's the sound of pain. And two people were dealing with an injury. One person dislocated their shoulder and they were in a really bad situation. And all of a sudden you mention this and you start remembering all those moments where you were talking about safety, your ability and the ability of the people around you could be the difference on if you have a hike in your future.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. And it also happened, you know, one of my good friends, Henning, he's usually always with me hiking and climbing. You know, he's in his 30s, so I can't keep up with him. And Sam, you know, in New Mexico, he's in his 30s. He always comes to our adventures. I can't keep up with them. So they leave me. When I'm hiking with them, I am by default the sweeper, and just because I'm by myself.
Sure.
And so they left me. And, you know, I would see them every once in a while around, you know, rounding a corner or something. And so we get up to the top and, you know, they're waiting and resting, and I get up there and, you know, we kind of finish the hike. Well, the next day going down, like I left them, like I was probably 10, 15 minutes ahead of them. Well, I missed the trail and I stepped off and I slipped and I fell. You know, just kind of, you know, just right off the trail. And I didn't realize my trekking poles came off my backpack.
Oh.
So I'm hiking down. And then I realize it. And I'm like, oh, I'm not hiking all the way back up there. You know, hopefully they'll find them and bring them down. Well, what happened was where I fell, you know, I had a skid mark. And, you know, Henning is an ex sniper, so tracking and all that stuff he does, and he enjoys the tracking aspect of it. So he saw my skid out, and then he looked, you know, further down, there's a switchback that's going underneath when my tracking pole is one's here, and then, you know, past that next switchback, my other tracking pole is there. You know, it's kind of one's upside down, and then the second tracking pole, it's a cliff. So, you know, he's now thinking I slipped and died. And
oh my gosh.
Now, you know, I have the Garmin, you know, he doesn't have it. So now him and Sam are like, all right, you know, what are we going to do? Well, you know, I'm sitting there at the car and they're panicking. So, you know, they marked the spot where the slip happened and where they found my trekking poles and picked up the trekking poles, didn't see me, you know, off the cliff. And when they got to the trailhead, you know, I could tell just looking at Henning, he was a little agitated, which rightly so. And he's like, I found your trekking poles. And he started telling me a story like, you know, you left, took off and blah, blah, all this stuff happened. And I'm like, okay, so how is that different than you guys leaving me heading up? Is that a different type of leaving or is that? Right. he was absolutely right. But at least I had a little bit of, you know, to get back at him because they left me. And
it feels different when you're in the front. It doesn't feel the same as, well, okay, that's like you were in a whole different headspace when you're sitting by the car because everything's cool.
Yep.
Yeah, you lost your poles, but you didn't go out. You don't think you went off a cliff, right? They built up this whole drama. So by the time they got to you, they were spun up.
Yeah. Right?
It's so wild to be on the same hike and for people to have such a very different experience, you know, based on who was where, when, why, and how, you know? So I just thought about something, and that is I am a slow hiker and I know this, right? But I don't like to take breaks. So when I hike with other people, it's very hard for me. I have a group in Vegas that understand me, so I can hike very well with them. The trip leader lets me be the sweep. And I walk and I hike slowly. They hike fast, but they take these long breaks, which I do not want. So what happens is I get to them. They've taken already a long break, in my opinion. And I say, I smile, I say hi, and then they let me go in front. Because on some of these hikes, the leader is always in the front. That's just one of the rules because there's some sketchy stuff. But they'll, if as long as the trail's clear, they'll let me keep walking. They're still taking their break. And then they'll catch up with me and we do this little leapfrog thing. That works for me.
Yeah.
But in the same group, a different leader, they will not let me go in front, period. They don't care what my experience is. I'm never on their trips, this leader, I'm never allowed to go in front. And I had a problem with that because it didn't work with the way I hike, because what they don't understand is that when I stop, it's very hard for me to get going again, period. Now, I tried to teach myself, okay, this is just another skill you've got to learn. But I'm just telling you, it didn't work very well. So I actually stopped hiking with this one leader because it didn't match the way I hike. And I didn't feel safe. And I tried to explain to them that I didn't feel safe the way that they were doing it. It wasn't that they weren't being safe. That was not my point. But the reason I'm sharing this is because what you've got to understand is you've got to know yourself. You got to know who you're hiking with. And in my opinion, if you're going on a hike, I found myself getting very lazy when other people were hiking, leading. I just showed up at the trailhead. I let them hike. And all of a sudden, when something goes south, you're like, wait a second. Do I have the ability to get me out of here if something happens, if I get separated, if I have an injury, if they have an injury? So I guess my other advice would be, you know, so self-rescue, know yourself, know your, but also even if you go with other people, you need to know the route and whatever challenges there might be in case something happens. So I it's all around safety, but knowing the situation, you know?
Yeah. I agree. And it's funny, like after that incident with my stepdad, you know, we get to Van Horn and we get to a restaurant and I could literally see his face coming back alive. He's drinking water and it really scared me. And there is not a day that goes by when I'm on a hiking trip or that my wife doesn't message me and say, do not leave anybody behind. And, you know, and I'm always going, you tell Henning and Sam, because they leave me behind all the time.
Right.
You know, I think for me, safety advice, I always tell someone, and it's because it doesn't cost you anything. Before you get on a hike, just tell somebody what you're doing. And, you know, you don't have to have a Garmin. You don't have to have a cell phone. You can literally just verbally tell somebody, write it down. You know, I'm heading out to Trailhead 6 and, you know, I'm going to do 4 miles and it should take me this amount of time and I should be back by this time. And for me, and I've even said this on the podcast a few times, So I leave an itinerary with Lori, and if I ever need to change it, so like I show up to Trailhead 6 and it's a lake and I'm like, all right, I'm heading to Trailhead 9, I'll text her and say, hey, change of plans. And if she doesn't check me back to say, oh yeah, I got it, I just go home. I don't change my itinerary for nothing. So that's always my, you know, it does, I guess, stop you from being maybe as flowy or that flowy that you know, that we were talking about earlier. But I just, you know, there's so many stories, people on the PCT, the AT, you know, they're on the trail and then they go off on a side trail. There's a rock fall and then they're dead. They go missing. And no one realized that, oh, they were, you know, it's like, I think it was his brother and his sister or two brothers. They were on the PCT and, you know, they found, I don't know how long they were missing, but maybe about 3 or 4 years ago, they finally found their bodies. And it would appear that, you know, they were on the trail hiking and they went off on a side shoot to go bag this peak. No one knew. And, you know, somebody, you know, years later found his stuff and it looked like it, you know, he had perished due to a rock fall.
Yeah. Yeah. I can honestly say, especially in the beginning, I didn't want to tell people where I was going because I didn't want them all worried about me. I'm being serious. I'm being very honest. But as time has gone on, I am doing a much better job, but I'm very cautious with who I share it with because I do believe some people freak out. They're like, oh, you can't do that. It's dangerous. So, you know, I'm very good now. It's pretty much my kids. I will let them know, hey, here's where I'm going, especially if I put them on as an emergency contact for one of my hikes. You know, yeah. I want them to know so that they can go, oh yeah, I knew about that, you know? So yeah, I think it's very good to let people know. And along this communication, signing the logbook, you know, that's leave breadcrumbs, you know, let people know, you know, you could follow my last hike that I just did just by the shelters. And yes, I would go off the trail to the shelter to sign the logbook to go back on the trail to keep going because it was that important to me, especially on this hike because there were no other hikers out. So there was no chance of passing ways, you know. So that's that communication thing. The Arizona Trail, there were lots of logbooks. I always signed the logbook, always. I took a picture of the logbook. I happen to believe that, you know, we take these things, my phone might be something that could help tell a story if I needed to tell a story. I've actually had very revealing videos of, you know, looking at a bear and I'm not sure what's going to happen or whatever the situation was before I cross a river. My video footage was not for TikTok. When you see me talking about, oh my gosh, I'm not sure what I'm going to do here. My phone, the reason you'll have videos of me crossing the river is because my phone is in a dry bag in my backpack. And guess what? No matter what happened to me, my backpack would have been found.
Right.
With my phone inside it. That would have had a story about, well, we know what mileage marker, because I had a mileage marker and you knew what river I was at. And so those are all the ways you can, I guess what I'm saying is you tell someone that knows you, but there's also leaving a trail for people who don't know you, but they might be part of the effort to find you. I've had people say, like when I go off to the woods and I have to go, it depends on the woods, but I don't like to leave my backpack. I have this thing about, I don't believe in leaving my backpack, but I'll leave my poles on purpose by the trail to go into the woods to take care of some business to then come back out. Why? To me, that's leaving a breadcrumb. That's, you know, that's saying, hey, something happened here, you know?
No.
And yeah, it could be that I forgot them on the tree, but hopefully somebody's going to investigate if they see poles that are not clearly, you know, I don't know. I have these little things that you can do just to communicate. That's all communication about what's going on your hike, you know, before. And then quite honestly, the whole you're done with your hike, let people know. Stop the clock. Let people know that you're done.
Yeah. So Lori is my or who I leave my itinerary with. I definitely don't tell my kids because I don't want them finding me. They, you know, they're bloodsuckers. They're finally all out of the house, and I am so happy.
Oh my gosh, you're going to crack me up.
Yeah, so I think for me, it's just the leaving the itinerary, and it, you know, it really doesn't matter. You don't have to have anything fancy just to tell someone what you're doing. Did you ever see, I don't know if you follow or YouTube or anything. There is a lady who is a backpacker, and, you know, she's kind of like you. Her first long trail was the AT, and I don't think before that she had any experience. But now she's, I think, done the Triple Crown. Her name's Dixie.
Tell me to watch her.
Yeah, well, yeah, so she's got some pretty good stuff, but she made a video of her actually pressing the Garmin SOS.
Yeah.
She had a heart issue. And so she pressed it. And so, like, for me, it was a very interesting video because I had no idea what happens. Like, the whole process when you press that SOS. And what really got me is, you know, through Garmin, you have a in case of emergency contact.
Right.
And they contacted her mother and said, look, I just want to tell you that this is all that I know is that, you know, are you the mother of whatever her name is?
Right.
And yep. And I just, you know, she pushed the SOS and that's all that the information that they had. Well, you would think like, yeah, that's fine to have watched that and said, but then she interviewed her mother. And so her mother is in the interview giving, you know, kind of like her experience with that. And so the mother just starts crying, you know, Dixie's crying and, you know, I'm crying. And then I show Lori and she's crying, but you know, like, the mother had no idea anything and they didn't either. So they just said, hey, just want to let you know. And so, yeah, it was probably one of the neatest videos that I've ever watched. Just that whole process,
yeah,
you know, of being rescued. And, you know, she got a lot of slack for that. Cause they said, oh, you know, it was staged and this and that. And, you know, I don't even want to get into that. I think people are just, you know, of course, negative just by just that's who we are. Yeah. But it was a really neat video, for sure.
But I think that's a good point. Is also to add to that is think about who you are leaving that. Who is your in case of emergency? Can they handle? Can they, like, when I went missing? I didn't know I was missing. My son was the right person. He handled it. He killed it. He handled it so well. And to this day, I tell him, you did great. Not everybody's going to handle it that well. You know, but Derek is Mr. Cool. Like, he's always been, all right, you know, what's the situation? You know, I put my phone in a little cup of water in my console when my whole world is falling apart and I pick it up and it's like charging in the water. Like, it was the stupidest thing. I didn't know I'd put it. Anyway,
yeah,
he's sitting right there. He's like, Mom, I'm sorry about your phone, but you know, getting upset's not going to make it any better. And of course, that made me upset at the time. But now I look back on it going, how cool was that? Like, I tell him this story all the time because I'm like, Derek, you were in ninth grade and you taught me a lesson at that very moment. But the point is, you make sure the person that is your point of contact can handle it. And I'm not saying that Dixie's mom couldn't handle it. She probably was the right person for it. But it was still, as a mom, my mom's already deceased. And I can promise you right now, I would not be doing the stuff I'm doing right now because I love my mom too much, that if she were still alive, I couldn't do this to her. Like, the stuff that I do, there's no way. But because I don't have any parents right now, you know, I'm very much not tethered to anyone. So unfortunately, I don't have that easy person to be my point of contact, but I also don't have anyone that I'm going to cause extra gray hairs. So.
Yeah. You should check out that video.
I might do that.
I don't watch a lot of her stuff, but that video popped up and it was It was crazy. And, you know, and I even, as soon as I watched the video, I checked my Garmin account and said, oh, I do have a, in case of emergency contact, oh, I better auto renew that insurance for a rescue. Because right. I think, I don't remember what she said her bill was, $60,000 or I don't know, but it was a lot. And, she, you know, she had luckily did the auto renew. And so hopefully I didn't ever follow up with a second video because I think she was going to, you know, let everybody know how that insurance aspect right. of Garmin worked. But that was very interesting.
Wow. Yeah. I actually don't follow other people. I tried. One time I tried to watch. Actually, the true story is there's this hike in Vegas called White Pinnacle, and they make you watch a YouTube video that someone did before you do this hike. Okay. So I did. And it is, out of all the 52 peaks, this is the only one that they make you, they will not let you go on this hike if you don't watch this video. And it was a YouTuber. So I watched it. Not kidding. I did not sleep the night before the hike because I watched this silly little video on what to expect on this hike. So then I do the hike and I'm kind of tired, but I'm excited. I do this hike. I get to the very top, but it was so not what the video showed. I don't know I'm on the top of this thing called White Pinnacle. And I'm thinking I still am waiting for these things I saw in the video because it was very dramatic. And they're like, Kim, you're done. You're here. And I'm like, no, there's no way. And I went back to watch the video. I'm like, they dramatized it. They made it so dramatic.
Yeah.
That, you know, that they got in my head. And so if you want to know why I don't watch videos, I'm just now reliving this, but this is why I don't do it, is because this person, they made a lot of views, and they obviously, the people that lead this trip think it's important for you to watch it. I disagree. For my personality, it was the, of all the hikes that I did out of the 52, it's the one that I was most worried about. And it was like one of the, I would say for me physically, it was not hard. Mentally, I was in my head. I actually want to do the hike again, knowing what happened. I would love to do the hike again and be in a different headspace. But anyway, I don't typically watch other people's videos for this one reason. You know, they make Angel's Landing look like, you know, it's the dangerous, most dangerous hike in the world. They call it the most dangerous hike in the world, most deadly, or whatever they call it. It's not, you know, but people live, they like to the drama, you know. I think what I know of Dixie is that I don't see her as a dramatic person. From what I've seen, she got famous because she just broke it down into simple little videos on here's what I do. Here's how I do it. She wasn't trying to be perfect. She was just a person like me who wanted to share her journey. Now, she might be something different than that, but that's the impression I have of her.
No, I think you nailed it. I think, she's not, I mean, everything that I've seen of her, it's very sincere, and this is, take it for what it's worth, and this is this is what it is.
Yeah.
All right, are you ready for the last question?
Oh, okay, go for it.
You have to tell us the story how you got your trail name.
Oh, okay.
Muon?
Close enough. Muon.
Muon.
Okay. So it's funny. You know, when you do the app, when you do a through hike, you hear about these trail names. And first off in my life, I remember before I even got on the trail, I had a list of all these names that I wanted. I'm being serious. Okay. I didn't know that you're supposed to earn it.
Yes.
So, but I didn't know that, right? Because I don't do any research, but I did hear about trail names and I'm like, all right, I got this. And so I'm like, I got this whole list of names. That was not one of them. I'm sitting about to start my hike. I'm in Amicalola and I'm actually at the lodge. And there was this kid who was the same age as my daughter. And he is with his father and they're about to head off. The kid is about to head off on the Appalachian Trail by himself. Okay. And again, this is February of 2020. There's no impact. We didn't know the world was going to shut down. Right. But I kind of took it upon myself. I wanted to keep an eye on this little kid. All right. So we're enjoying the lodge and we're having a meal together. And the father was asking me questions about what I did for work. And I was talking about a project I was working on. Well, this guy, the father, actually knew what a muon was. So he's like all in this kid. He had done research about the trail, I guess. And some people have goals for what they want to do on their hike. There's like this little checklist. And there's things from like mooning the cog or eating the half gallon or gallon, I can't remember, of ice cream. Hiking naked on June, whatever. There's all these things that people, going to trail days, people have these things they want to do. And one of them is giving someone a trail name. So this kid is there. I haven't even started my real hike yet. I had done some of the approach trail, but like I hadn't done my hike yet, but I'm getting ready. And I remember, this is all I can remember is, cause I was pretty jazzed. I was pretty excited, but the kid's like, you should be called Muon. And I'm like, nobody's going to know what that is. And then I'm like, nobody's going to know what that is. And this kid is excited. And his trail name turned out to be, he had hot tea on the, every day. He didn't do coffee, he did hot tea. I think this is the cutest name ever. Somebody, I didn't get to name him, but someone called him Hottie, like hot tea. Anyway, so the trail names are fun because they do have a story. So mine got started really early. And I remember, because they basically said, you can accept the name or not. You, if you don't like it, you can. But I was like, you know, I like this. And it was funny because then I started introducing myself as Muon and people really had a hard time with it. And then throughout my hike, I then transferred into, I would, one day it hit me, it was a subparticle because I was on a project called Muon Tomography. And so I did a log in one of the, I don't remember when I started doing this, but I said Muon passing through. And I thought, that's so funny. Nobody gets it, but I thought it was funny. So then I wrote Muon passing through. And then as it kept going, because I kept thinking maybe I'll get a new trail name. Someone tried to rename me Hiker Box because I loved hiker boxes. And someone else tried to rename me Bacon. And I was like, you know, I like the Muon. And then, because when you're hiking, you have all these times to think about things. And one of the things I was thinking about was, I love the moon and the sun. And if you intertwine it, and that's why if you ever look at it, I do M-U-O. Oh, actually, it's on the screen, I think. Mm-hmm. See the capital N? Mm-hmm. That's because I combine the words moon and sun. So I just kind of evolved it. And I think if you look at my notes, I made different things like what the M-U-O-N stand. I mean, like you've got nothing but time. So you're playing with the word. And so I just kept going with it. But here's a fun little story, I think. At some point, and I never thought about this, but I labeled a lot of my gear. I had a Sharpie and I labeled some of my stuff. And I had a pair of really expensive, what I thought were camp shoes and crossing the river shoes. Within like a week of my hike, my feet are so swollen, I cannot wear these shoes. And they were expensive. I mean, I like invested some money in these suckers, but I couldn't carry them. So I donated them. Well, then the whole world shuts down. Unbelievable. I get back on the trail and I'm really bummed because I wanted to do my hike all northbound. But because of being off the trail for COVID, I ended up doing this thing where I hiked halfway. Then I did a flip-flop thing you do. And I like went up and I came back down and you know, they have NOBO, they have SOBO, northbound, southbound. They have a thing during 2020 that we called COBO, which is COVID bound. You had to hop over different parts that were closed. And so I was COBO. Yeah. Anyway, I'm coming south after having done Katahdin and I'm working my way back to the finish, which would be the middle of the trail in Harper's Ferry. And I see this girl and she has my shoes on the back of her pack. How do I know? Because it says Muon.
Did you tell her?
I did. I stopped and I'm like, I said, you're not going to believe this, but those are my shoes. And she knows because I mean, it has my name on it. It says Muon. And so she made a promise. I said, you've had my shoes since where I left them. And she's like, I left them in a hiker box. And she's like, I said, I know this is extra weight, but would you take them to the top of Katahdin? Can my shoes at least do the whole trail NOBO? And I'll be if that girl didn't take a picture of my shoes with her on Katahdin.
And no way.
But so Muon had this very strong feeling. Well, when I finished my hike, you know, what do you do with your name? I gave it to my van. So my van's name is now Muon. So I called my van Muon. So now it's Muon on TikTok. You know, that's Muon 2020 started with me, but now it's my van. And when I did other trails, I would get other names. I didn't carry my Muon with me. So like when I did the John Muir Trail, someone named me 7-7 because I hiked from 7 to 7. So, and it has a biblical meaning and some other things, but 7 to 7, they were very passionate about it. So I kept 7-7, not 77, but 7-7. And so it's funny, but the Arizona Trail, someone was adamant about naming me. Adamant. So I really helped someone one day because I had my solar power and they were out of energy. I was out of food. So they fed me while we charged their devices. So they called me Solar. And it was kind of cool because we spelled it like Soul, S-O-U-L-E-R, Solar. But then someone renamed me afterwards because of my personality that you've probably picked up on now. And so by the time I finished the Arizona Trail, my trail name was Solar Squirrel. It kind of fits. But if you notice, I identify as Muon because that's what started this whole thing. And I still like the concept of just passing through. I mean, that's kind of how I'm living my life right now. And it's kind of like the dash for some people. This is my dash. So yeah. I've kind of held on to Muon just because it's tied to my working world, but it's also tied to my Appalachian Trail. And then I put it on my van. So for me, it's kind of stuck. So Muon Adventures, you know, there's other little names along the way, but that's the one that I truly embrace.
And that's a great story.
So yeah, so it's kind of a weird one because, you know, nothing epic happened during my hike that gave me that name, but it was something that has so much connection to my trail, you know, and I still, you know, I still like it that it's hard to remember. I'll be honest. I like the fact that it's, you know, most people don't know how to say it or they don't know what it means or they just can't remember it. And I'm okay with that. It's almost like I like what I'm doing, but I still am so humbled with this journey and this life. I'm not trying to go out there and kind of showboat. I'm not trying to brag. I'm not trying to, I would love to inspire, but I kind of like the concept that you might meet a Muon, but you're not necessarily going to remember, you know, you're going to go hopefully on your journey, you know?
Yeah. So do you know if that little kid ever finished?
I do. I know a lot about the story. He actually stayed on the trail. So when I got off the trail because they were shutting down the national parks, you were allowed to hike, day hike, but you weren't allowed to camp. Well, his dad, the parents live close by. So this kid was hiking with some other people. This is all I know. He was hiking with some other people and the father would come and get them off the trail. So they weren't breaking any rules. They get back on the trail and they keep hiking. Well, near the end, he ended up getting hurt, not near New York, I believe. He got hurt and his group, his pod, his tramily kept hiking and he was so far behind that I believe he even though he hiked so many miles, he did not finish at least in 2020. I don't know after that, but I know so many people who stayed on the trail during the time when things were a little more challenging, that most of those people did not finish. The people that I got to know were people who either started knowing that COVID was happening. And so they started in June or when I was coming south now, because I've done this weird thing where I've hopped up and I'm hiking from Katahdin, actually from the 100 Mile Wilderness south, I would start bumping into people who got off the trail and got back on the trail. But for the most part, the people that stayed on the trail, many of them did not finish for one reason or another. It wasn't fun. Right. They had to go back to their family. You know, one guy, very special guy, he was loving his through hike, but he has a special needs kid. When all the schools and everything shut down, now the challenge and the burden of taking care of his daughter with special needs was all on his wife. And he's like, I can't do that to her. You know, we're a team. And so 2020 was such a unique year. There'll never be, I hope there's never a year like it again, but the situations for people not to be able to finish their hike and the challenge that was put in front of them it's hard to even explain, you know? So no, I don't know if he finished ever, you know, because he did a majority of the trail. I mean, he did like, I don't know what to New York is, but he couldn't have had more than, he had to be close to the 2000 mark. But, you know, at some point he was like that, his hike wasn't there anymore. And that's what happens, you know, when people step off the trail, it's because something happened either at home for them personally or in the world that caused them to abandon their through hike. Yep.
Well, that wraps it up.
Okay.
So as we've already discussed, you are always more than welcome to come back. And I definitely, you know, now, I think we've just really built a foundation for future episodes, because now it's about the adventure, the individual trails, the journey. Right. So yeah, I can't thank you enough. We have been talking about this for almost a year.
Yeah, since and, February.
Greatly appreciate it. And I know how busy you are taking the time to come on the podcast and just talk hiking. This has been an absolute blast.
I love your experience. And maybe I'll say this to your listeners is do us a favor. And if there's a hike that you really want to hear about, because I think if you listen to the different, whatever you call these episodes or whatever you call them. If there's one that you really want to know about, let us know. And I would be happy to even entertain some questions from you if there's something, the very first part of this series has, I think I went down my list. So that's right. The most comprehensive list. It's funny because then I started thinking, oh, there's other hikes. But, you know, those will come out as we talk. You know, I might remember the only two real rescues I have, but the one about the ice cave, the ice bridge collapsing, that's a huge story in itself. So maybe let us know what you're interested in, because I'm happy to share any of those hikes, because they're, like you said, they're all their own little story, you know?
Absolutely.
So I'm happy to help. That this is fun to me. I'm getting to relive these hikes. And it's fun to be more than just the elevator conversation of, you know, you give someone a 2-minute rundown of something that you had a life-changing moment, you know, but most people can only listen for 2 minutes, you know, like an elevator. But when you ask these questions and you just keep pulling out information and details, it comes alive again. So
absolutely.
You do a phenomenal job.
Well, I greatly appreciate it. And again, you know, this has been an epic recording. And yeah, so, I mean, if you kind of look at our duration, this will be 5 parts. So, yeah, so this is, you know, and just as a producer, like I'm just thinking, and I've already started listening to some of it. I don't know that there's going to be too much editing. So it's, this is like the perfect storm in a positive way.
It's funny to hear and get excited, because when I get excited, I talk fast. And so I hope people can follow what I'm saying when I get all like jazzed about some, question or whatever. Hopefully you can slow it down, right?
No, I think it's perfect. Oh, and you know gosh. What? If they don't get it, they can re-listen or re-download.
They can slow down, right? They can slow
That's
down.
Right.
No, this was great. And so I look forward to you just let me know. And sometimes we might be doing it. I don't know. I don't always have the place to do this. So, but I think you do these mostly sound, right? So it's okay mm-hmm. if it's in my van,
Exactly. Absolutely.
Okay. So
that should be a requirement on the next one, that it's in the van. Cause that was a big part of this story, your van and.
Okay.
Yeah. There that would be kind of cool.
That would be great. So yeah, just let me know. And then I think as long as my little cell phone can handle whatever we're doing, then I say we do it.
So. Absolutely.
All right.
Well, thanks again. And I will give you back your day and, let's stay in touch, and you have a wonderful rest of your day.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
And that wraps up another exciting episode of the Trailblazing Texas podcast. We hope you enjoyed the episode today, and stay tuned for our next episode where we will pick back up where we left off and guarantee to uncover many more hiking gems and share many more tips to enhance your experience on the trail. Until then, happy trails and happy hiking.